Turning now our attention to the Word of God, to Psalm 139. I'll read this Psalm, Psalm 139, in its entirety. People of God, this being the Word of God, let us hear it. The reading of the Word of God from the Psalter, Psalm 139, a Psalm of David. Hear now God's Word. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought far off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hides not from Thee, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knows right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. Surely Thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against Thee wickedly, and Thine enemies take the name, Thy name, in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate Thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against Thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. May the Lord bless this psalm to our hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Again, Lord, we pray that Thou would bless Thy word to us, that Thou would make it, that Thou would swell it, that Thou would make it most meaningful of all, and that we would be found, each one of us, walking in Thy ways. Bless the reading of it, and now the preaching. For this we ask also, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalmist in another place, in Psalm 8, for example, is a song based on Psalm 8. It's in another version. It's not in the King James Version, but it says, O Lord, in the King James it says, how excellent is Thy name. It also can be translated, how majestic is Thy name. The psalmist here in Psalm 139 is saying the same thing, that He is the majesty on high, and He's majestic for several reasons here. He's majestic because He's all-powerful. Right? His power is unmatched. He is the majesty on high because He is almighty. He is all-powerful. He is omnipotent. He's also majestic and excellent. His name is excellent. He's wonderful. He's the majesty on high because He's omnipresent, because He is everywhere, and He is all there at the same time, everywhere. You could say that. I mean, this is just marvelous that God is so powerful and so present. He's also majestic and excellent because his name is wonderful, because he is sovereign. A sovereign is a king. A sovereign is a majesty. He is the sovereign of heaven. He commands all of heaven. Angels and saints made perfect. And he's the king of all the earth. In fact, his son was appointed authority of all in heaven and in earth. He's said to be also Almighty God. In Revelations, John says about Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and end, the Almighty God, his son, is called. For all those who would doubt that Jesus Christ must be the Son of God, must be God, equal in power and in glory and in majesty, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is sovereign because he is our creator, as the psalmist points out. He created him. He knew him before he was even conceived. But in his mother's womb, he knew every part of the psalmist, as he declares in verse 14. Verse 13 and so on. And he is majestic because he is just and terribly, awesomely holy. He is perfectly holy. And that's the reason why the psalmist is so devoted to the majesty on high, the wondrous God, the God too perfect to even imagine, too awesome, too powerful, too ever-present, too sovereign, to comprehend. Infinite, we're finite. How can we ever comprehend him? How can we ever understand him unless he reveals himself to us, to you, to me? If he reveals himself by his own spirit, not by the imagination of man, not by the interpretations, not by anything, but his spirit. Will we ever understand anything about God? We can't see him. We can't prove him. We can't understand him. He's beyond us. How in the world are we going to know anything about him unless he first tells us or shows us? And so this is what's going on here in this psalm. But I want to focus on two verses here, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. What a prayer that is. What a request that is. And I want to talk about that, the request itself. Then I want to talk about the request as far as being as some have said, a dangerous request to make, a very awful request to make for the saved and for the unsaved, but even for the saved. That's the second point. The third is I want to talk about the request as being very fervent and emphatic. Emphatic meaning urgent. And it's a request that way. It's a fervent, it's a emphatic and urgent request. And finally, I want to talk about the blessed answer. I want to call a blessed solution. So we got the request, a very serious, awesome, dangerous request. Very emphatic, urgent request. And finally, the blessed answer. Well, The request itself is very serious, is very awesome for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's a thorough. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way. It's a very thorough request. He's asking God. He's praying that God would reveal to him everything about him. The psalmist wants God to thoroughly search him out. Remember, it's God. And he's going to be thorough. He's not going to be superficial. He is going to be. He's going to answer that request. And the psalmist knows that he might not like the answer, because it's going to be thorough. It's not going to be a superficial thing like we would desire. We don't want everyone knowing everything about us on display. So therefore, he's asking a spiritual. He's praying spiritually. He's saying, search my heart. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. He's saying, look into just not my outward behavior alone, but my inner thoughts, the thoughts of my mind, even my prayers. Examine me, yes, thoroughly. Examine me spiritually. Go to the heart of the matter, Lord. I want you there. I want you at the center of my being. Involved at the center of my being. For it's out from the heart, as the writer of Proverbs says, it's from the heart that arise the issues of my life. They're my motives. That's where my thoughts are, both those thoughts that of which I'm aware, and the thoughts that are hidden even. Expose those things, those sins that are, yes, that I'm aware of which I'm aware, but also those sins I'm not aware of. Those things that I'm trying to hide even from myself. Where my priorities are at. Where the structure of my life is, the core of my existence, Lord, oh God, search me. This is no joke. This is not just a prayer, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before, if I wake, take my soul. The Lord, I pray the soul, the Lord take my soul. Something like that. We used to pray that with our kids too, but that's very, an unbeliever could pray that prayer. But this prayer, this is reserved for believers. But even believers need to be very particular about this, very careful about this. This is no light matter. Thoroughly, spiritually, search me. And that's why it's dangerous. It's dangerous to, and I've said this before, there's all this encouragement. It's better to pray than not to pray. And even if you're an unbeliever, to pray is good psychologically for unbelievers. It helps people. And there's studies that say it does. From a psychological point of view, which you can't always trust psychology, because if you study psychology, you understand it's all messed up. The whole field is messed up. I mean, there's all kinds of theories, all kinds of things that they haven't gone to the Lord to know what the human soul is and all that stuff. And so statistically, fine, if you're going to be into the statistical end of things. But to study psychology, you find, and especially counseling, it's way out there. And they're right, like a stop clock is correct twice a day. They just don't always get it. In fact, they seldom really get it. But they continue. And they continue to advise us, based on statistics, based on measures of happiness and satisfaction and all, that people that pray are more stable, psychologically speaking, emotionally speaking, than people who do not. But you see, if you're praying superficially, that's one thing. If it's helping you stabilize yourself, and maybe somehow the Spirit kind of uses that, that's fine. And who's to say that the Spirit won't eventually use your prayer in the right way? But for an unbeliever to pray something like this, for somebody that maybe has come to church but really doesn't care about church, really doesn't know the Lord, doesn't really care to know the Lord, is coming to church, is hearing or listening to the gospel for a different reason, out of curiosity, for a PhD or something like that, needs to be very cautious when he prays a prayer, when he utters the name of the Lord. He prays a prayer like this: "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me." Would you really, as an unbeliever, as somebody that's exposed to Jesus Christ, exposed to the gospel, really want God to reveal to you your innermost thoughts, your sins, your failures, all these things? Is that really what someone would want? And the answer is, of course not. Someone that is not really serious about Christ, is not really serious about his word, does not really want to imbibe it, wants to drink it in, take it in, and change his life as a result, who just prays a prayer, you can't pray a prayer like this and not put yourself in great jeopardy. But they can't pray a prayer like this because they don't even believe in sin. They don't know about it. They don't understand sin. Most people, yes, they do good things, or it looks like it's good outside, but inside it's not. And that's where God goes. You're asking God to go to the heart of the matter, to examine my heart, not just the outward thing, the outward show. There are a lot of politicians and a lot of people that do things for outward reasons, for power and for perks and for privilege and for this and for that. Their motives are wrong. But most people who do things during the course of the day are selfish and sinful. And they are full of lies. And just, we look at that on the internet today. All kinds of lies. And now they're calling fake news. And there is cheating going on between people, there is marriage and there is divorce and there is all kinds of jealousy and envy and hatred on a daily basis. People treating other people with contempt that they don't even know. I mean, there's all this going on at every level in our society by almost every person on a daily basis. Do they really? Does anyone want to pray a prayer like this? Examine my heart, know my thoughts, try me, Lord, test me. But even a believer, again, a believer, do you really want to pray this prayer? What does this prayer mean if you're a believer? It means that I want you to expose me. I want you to examine me. I want you to sort of take me from inside and bring it out. And I want to, anything that's wrong, anything that's a failure, anything that's sinful, whatever it is, Lord, I want you to handle it. I want you to help me repent of it. Do you really want him to do that? Do you really want him to expose your heart to you, to expose the things that you've stuffed down, that you've hidden, You really want God to bring them up to the surface? And are you going to repent of them? Are you going to treat them like God, as God wants you to treat them, and cast them from your life? Is that what you want? See, even the believer needs to be careful about this. Because remember, he's asking God, search me, O God. He's not saying, O wife, or O husband, or O son, or O daughter. You know, tell me the truth. Tell me honestly what you think about me. Yeah, right. Tell me honestly what you mean. Sure. But he's asking God to do this. And so you know that this is going to be awesome. Why? Because I gave you the reasons. Because God is omniscient. He knows everything. There's no guesswork here. There's no, he's going to miss something. He knows it all from beginning to end. You're asking God to examine you and to expose you. You understand that? I don't think you do. I'm afraid to pray this. I prayed this prayer. I don't think I meant it. Because I didn't really think about it as deeply as I have of late. God, search me. He's not going to miss anything. Reveal to me? Are you sure? That means I'm going to have to change, doesn't it? Because I'm not perfect. I fail. I'm a sinner. I'm selfish. I'm envious. I'm covetous. I'm lustful. I'm sick. Physically, yes, but also emotionally and psychologically, I'm a sick person. Do I really want God to show me all the mess? He's everywhere, right? He's ever present. He's everywhere. So I can't hide from him. He's sovereign. He's in control. He knew the psalmist. The psalmist says he knew me from my mother's womb. Before I was formed in my mother's womb, he knew me. He knew the plans he had for me from beginning to end. And he's holy. He's dreadfully holy. There's no excuse for, well, with him. If he's going to expose me, then he's going to expose me. And I need to take this very seriously. But the psalmist here is very emphatic, right? He's fervently asking God, search me, O Lord, search me, O God. Oh, you know, the emphatic, oh, this is urgent, Lord. You have to search me. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way. Not just some wicked way, a few wicked ways. Any wicked way. Four times he said it, right? Search me. Try me. Know my thoughts. Know my heart. Know my thoughts. Four things. This is urgent. This is emphatic. He's saying, sanctify me. I want to be better. I want to be more devoted to you. I want to be a better person because God is making me a better person. Less of me, more of thee. That kind of thing. Do you really want that? Oh, yes, I do, the psalmist says. I want it terribly. I'm devoting myself to this prayer. I am begging the Lord. I am pleading with the Lord to do this for me. So, you know, it's something that he really, really wants. I ask you, brothers, sisters, do you really want this? Do you want the Lord to expose everything about you? And with the design in mind, you know the design is to repent, to give it up. That means that what I talk about, That's got to change according to the glory of God in Jesus Christ, what I talk about. I can't talk frivolously. I can't talk wickedly. I can't gossip. I can't backbite. I can't do all the things I'm used to doing anymore. Because if I want the Lord to expose me, and I'm serious about this, and I'm emphatic about it, and it's urgent that he does this because I want to get rid of it as soon as possible, then I need to know that I want to repent. Or am I going to make excuse? Once I'm exposed, once I realize, I'm going to rationalize it away. I'm going to excuse it away. I'm going to say, well, you know, Tommy over there does it. He's worse than I am. So I don't really have to change, right? I don't have to get into this. Well, that's not what the psalmist is saying. He's saying to do this for a reason. That means the things that I not only talk about or say, but the friends I have. Why do I have the friends I have? Now, young people, and I've noticed this among Christians, young people get together with the wrong guy or the wrong gal, man. And you can't tell them nothing. You can't say that this fella, this gal is not the right one for you because he's not saved. Or, you know, I don't think he said, who you judge? You get all this. Yeah, he's saved. He doesn't go to church. He doesn't care about that. He doesn't care about, he doesn't read the Bible. He doesn't emphasize the fact that we have to, we should be devoting ourselves here. He doesn't pray. I don't see him on his knees or anything like that. But he's saved. Why is he saved? Why do you say that? Well, because he grew up in a Christian home. Okay, maybe he did. Doesn't mean you're saved, right? You come to Calvary Church doesn't mean you're saved, right? Why do you say saved? I've seen that so many times I can't count. I've lost count. But it's not just that. Well, you know, you young people, you have friends. You have friends at school. And why are you hanging with them? Are they all saved? Is it sanctified talk? What are you talking about? Well, you mean I can't have friends? No, I'm not saying that. But you need to change. You need to consider, you know, why am I hanging with this person? Why am I going with that person? How about the movies we attend as Christians, right? Bad enough we watch the things on television. I know that for my own self. But why do we go to some of the movies we go to? What's that about? You know, when you pray this prayer, in other words, you're saying, Lord, expose these things to me, whether they're right and wrong, and expose them for what reason? So that I can repent of them, so I can change my way. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to pray this prayer? Because it means exposing your heart, your ways to him, and changing them because they're sinful or they're wrong, and not making any excuse whatsoever for what he shows you. See how the prayer is an awesome prayer. Be ye perfect. Be ye holy as God is holy. Be ye perfect as I am perfect, says the Lord. And the answer is, well, it's a blessed answer, right? Search me, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You see, that is the wonderful answer. That is the blessed answer. When you pray this prayer, when you seriously pray this prayer, when you ask the Lord to reveal all these things to you about yourself, and you, with the desire to divorce yourself from wickedness and unrighteousness and unholiness and all that, and move towards, you know, to kind of separate yourself from the popular way, from the worldly way, from the broad way, as Jesus calls it, and follow the narrow way, the straight way, entering at the straight gate and all that, well, the answer is simple. And lead me in the way everlasting. God will lead you in the way everlasting. And being led in the way everlasting, being led in this way, you will prosper spiritually. It'll be so much better for your life, and of course your life afterwards. That's the answer. That's the fact. If you pray this prayer seriously with the desire to repent of all your sins and turn from the world and from what's popular and turn towards God, you will be led in the way everlasting. And you will be led up, up, up. Glory to glory to glory. You will be standing on the sure foundation of God's promises, all his promises being yes and amen in Jesus Christ. So which is it? Which is it, dear people? Do you want your old ways? You want to stay the same way? You want to do the same thing which has got you in the mess you're in right now? Or do you want to follow the Lord? Do you want to walk in the way everlasting, the narrow way? Then you need to walk to pray this prayer. Seriously. Search me, know me, try me, and walk in the way everlasting. That's the choice. Wonderful choice. As the great warrior Joshua said, you have a choice before you this day. Choose God or not. And then he said, as for me and my house, we will choose the Lord. Dear people, go home and think about this. Choose to pray this prayer seriously. And watch what will happen. Watch what will happen. Keep your eyes open, your ears open. He will answer. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, bless us on our way. We want to be led by Thee. We know that we need to be led by Thee. We know that we're not all we're supposed to be, all we ought to be, but we want to be more of what we ought to be. And therefore, we, each one of us, need to pray to search me and to know me, to try me, know my thoughts. And if there is any wicked way in me, and surely there is still, lead me in your way everlasting for your great name's sake. It's a better life, Lord. It's a better life we're asking, I know. And yet be merciful, O Lord. Be merciful in Christ Jesus towards each one of us, forgiving all our sins for his sake, cleansing us within, and may we be found walking in your way, the straight and narrow way. We ask all this in your name, your wonderful name, the name of Jesus.